Good afternoon, everyone. As always, we thank the Froelich Financial Group for the generous sponsorship of our afternoon kollel. Very special thank you to Dr. Ira and Arlene Schwartz, who sponsored this afternoon's learning, this week's learning, in memory of his mother, Golda Bas Rabbi Yisrael Alter. Before we delve into our topic, just a reminder, we are only a couple weeks away from the South Florida Siyum HaShas celebration. It promises to be a fantastic Torah celebration. Get your tickets. They're filling up. It's going to be a beautiful day, beautiful weather, beautiful program, and a special, special siyum dedicated in memory of our dear friend, Rabbi Dr. Brian Galbit. Special siyum hashas in his memory in particular. You can still actually sign up to be part of that. We look forward to a wonderful celebration. So today in our contemporary halachic topics, I want to look at a topic, in some ways is timely, and that is the topic of the Jewish view of celebrating birthdays. Do we care about birthdays? Where's the role of birthdays? Is birthdays a goyish, a secular thing? Do only non-Jews make parties and blow out candles and hang streamers and wish each other happy birthday? Or is there a Jewish value? Is there a Jewish source to the idea of wishing birthdays? What does it have to do with Hanukkah? Really very little, but we're going to try to make it connect nonetheless. But it does have to do with the end of this past week's parasha, because the only person in all of Tanakh we find who makes a birthday party is Paro. Source number one. Pasuk tells us at the end of Parshas Vayeshev, "Vayi bayom hashlishi yom huledes es paro, vayas meshtel l'chol avadav." It was the third day, which is yom huledes es paro. It was Paro's birthday. And what did Paro do on his birthday? Vayas meshtel, he made a big party. Vayisa es rosh ha-mashkim es rosh ha-ofim besoch avadav. And that is when he counted the saramashkim and saraofim among his loyal servants. And we have reference to two of them. So really, it's a very tangential part of the story. But the Torah testifies that Paro, on his birthday, he made himself a party. So is the idea of a birthday party, is that purely secular? So we do find an approach. We do find an approach within our Mesorah who look askance at celebrating birthdays. Birthdays is not a Jewish thing. What are you pausing to recognize, to wish greetings, to make a party? We don't do that. The Aderes, Rav Eliyahu David Rabinovitz to Umim, Rav Kook's father-in-law, the Aderes and his nefesh David tells the following: with all of my heart, I was angry at those who wished me a greeting of a happy birthday on my birthday. And the Aderet responded that way, not because he was upset that he was an old man. Don't remind me, it's my birthday. Don't remind me, I'm getting on in years. It had nothing to do with his age. It had to do with the idea of a birthday. And he said, I am accustomed every year when there are those who try to greet me with a happy birthday to tell them that we don't do that. Happy birthday, the only person we find celebrating a birthday in Tanakh is Paro. But the truth is, we'll see in a moment, we'll examine, it was a machlokes b'shama beis hillel that went on for several years, and finally they voted and they concluded, Noach la'adam, it would have been better if we were never born. So the Gemara in Source 3, Erevin Yud Gimel, the Gemara quotes, 2.5 years. This one said, you know what? Better if we were never born. Who needs it? Better if we weren't born. We wouldn't need knee replacements and hip replacements. We wouldn't have back pain and arthritis. Better we wouldn't be born. What are you talking about? Children and einiklach and simchas and life. Simchas achayim. What are you talking about? Look at the amazing lives we have. Better to be born. So how did they conclude? How did they decide it? Nimnu v'gomru. They counted up the votes. After 2.5 years, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel going at it. Better to not be born, better to be born. They counted up the votes. And what did they conclude? Noach lo la'adam shelo nivra, yosem misha nivra. And therefore, now that we exist, achshav shenivra yefashvish b'masav. Now that we've been created, be vigilant. And a person should always be reflective and introspective. And a person should always be responsible for our deeds. Once we're here, we should take accountability for our lives. But you know what the truth is? It would have been better. Now, we don't have time to examine this Gemara in depth, but you'll notice the debate Beis Shammai Beis Hillel was not really about whether it would have been better. What word does the Gemara use? Noach. What does the word Noach mean? It would have been more comfortable. Because, you know, Adon lo amaliyulad. Last week's parsha too, Bikesh Yaakov leishev b'shalva. Yaakov just wants some peace and quiet, and Hashem denies it to him, and he says that's not what life is all about. Life is all about the struggle. It's about the tension. It's about the conflict. It's about breaking through. And so therefore, Noach la'adam shelo nivra. You're right, it would have been more comfortable. It would have been easier if we weren't born. The Maharsha says, we quoted this recently, that nimnu v'gamru means they counted and they concluded. It's not in your source book. But the Maharsha says, what does it mean they counted and they concluded? It doesn't mean they counted Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai, that took a vote in the Beis Medrash. Nimnu v'gamru means they examined the mitzvos. They counted the mitzvos. There are 365 lav and los asays, 248 mitzvos asay. So they counted and they concluded, you know, when you wake up in the morning, there's a greater chance you're going to mess up than you're going to get it right. There's more ways for your day to go wrong than for your day to go right. There are more los asays than asays, more negative commandments than positive commandments. So nimnu v'gamru, they counted and they concluded there are more ways to mess it up. It would have been easier to stay asleep. It would have been better not to have been created, not to be born. I think it's the Belzer Rebbe, but one of the Rebbe says the Maharsha was wrong. And they were wrong. Why? Because they miscounted, they miscalculated nimnu v'gamru. What do you mean? Isn't it true? There's 365 and 248. What do you mean they miscalculated? The answer is no. There are 365 ways it can go wrong, but there's an infinite number of ways it can go right. Because for the day to go right, it's not just about the formal mitzvah. It's not the 248 mitzvahs I say. It's every reshus, everything that we do, how we eat and how we talk and where we go, what we look at, and the chesed we do. If we're honest at business, every moment we're, if we're walking Kiddush Hashem, we're kind Kiddush Hashem, there's a limitless number of ways the day could go right. There is no ceiling. It's not stuck at 248. Nimnu v'gamru, their calculation was off. But in any case, the Adara concluded from this Gemara, if it's true that Noach la'adam shelo nivra, if it would have been preferable or it would have been more comfortable if we weren't born, then therefore what? Don't celebrate a birthday. Because really, birthdays are nothing to celebrate. And in fact, the wisest of all men, Shlomo HaMelech in Koheles tells us, Tov Shem Mishem and Tov, Tov V'yom HaMavis, Miyom Ivaldo. The day of death is better than the day that we're born. So therefore, this Masorah says, what do we emphasize? Yahrzeits. Jews live for Yahrzeits. We live for Yahrzeits. The days of death. We live for Yahrzeits. Make a tikkun, sponsor a tikkun, say Kaddish, some fast, some make a Suda. But our life revolves around Yahrzeits, 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 Yahrzeit calendars, and Yahrzeit groups, and Yahrzeit emails, and Yahrzeit WhatsApp lists, Yahrzeits, Yahrzeits. I get several. I have an email, and I get a WhatsApp from someone to tell me that week's Yahrzeits of Gedolei Yisrael. It's very helpful. It's beautiful. And I cannot tell you how many times through the years that I've quoted a Dvar Torah from someone's name, only later to find out it was on their Yahrzeit. It's a beautiful thing. But I have no WhatsApp group, and there is no email list to sign up for to find out the birthdays of great people. Yahrzeits, that's our Masorah, because Noach shaladim shlo nivra, and Yom HaMamas v'Yom Ivaldo, and therefore he said, I'm angry and I curse the people who wish me a happy birthday. What's so happy about my birthday? Not because the Aderet was a sad, somber, morose person, but because if we examine our lives, we say, Noach shaladim shlo nivra. The Munkacher Rebbe came to a similar conclusion. Source number 5, page number 2. The Minchas Aluza, the Munkacher Rebbe, Reb Chaim Elazar Spira, he said the following. He was observing, he was writing, this was a drasha he gave. It's quoted in the Sefer Divrei Torah, a drasha he gave on the occasion of a secular personality whose birthday was being celebrated broadly, including by the Jewish community. And he says, Mamasha Amarti, he says, I gave a drasha in the shul, which was the mandate, the will of the secular government, the Yom HaLed Sar HaRepublic, Hanoda Lemiska B'chol HaOlam B'midas Tova V'Yishar. So, because it was whoever's birthday, and we had to give a drasha in the shul to acknowledge the birthday of this great person. You know, several years ago, the prince of Iran, the Shah's son, came to speak at our shul. Wow. He's he was going around trying to recruit the Jewish community to be his ally in helping to overthrow the Iranian government and support the dissidents in Iran. And that he was quoting our history of Persia and Koresh and the relationship of the Jews in Persia, and he was there to help us, Persia was there to help us, the state of Israel should be there to help them. Fine. So I asked some of the Persians in our community, Iranians, did you ever hear of him? Do you remember? I said, did I hear of him? His birthday, when we were growing up, when he was a little kid and we were a little kid, we had off from school the day of his birth, his birthday. It was an Iranian holiday when the Shah's son, his birthday, we had off from school, it was a holiday. So the Munkacher Rebbe writes, it was the birthday of the Tsar of the Republic, and therefore I had to give a drasha in the shul. We don't find this in our Masorah. Among our greatest leaders, we don't acknowledge or celebrate their birthday. And the obvious reason is, out of their humility, so the Munkach Rebbe came to the same conclusion. You know, it would have been better if we didn't exist. And he quotes this Marsha and that calculation. So he says, "Vizel be Yisrael shekibdu alein l'shmor l'asos tarig mitzvos mashein kein b'umas ha'olam shein lahem rakhov zayin mitzvos lo shaya chashen nimnu v'gamru mispar tarig." Yeah, the Marsha's explanation that they counted and calculated, there are more ways for the day to go wrong than to go right, that was true for the Yidden, for Jews. Because there's 248 ways for it to go right, but there's 365 ways for it to go wrong. But with the non-Jews, they only have 7 mitzvahs b'nei Noach. It's easy. When they wake up, the odds are in their favor. So they celebrate birthdays. Because for them, Noach l'Adam Shenivra. For the non-Jew, for whom the bar is so low, and it's so easy to pass the threshold of meeting Hashem's expectations, there are only 7, and some of them are pretty easy. Like, don't rip a limb off a live animal and eat it. So, what? They're all negative, true, but they're easy negative, and only 7 of them. So it's pretty easy to make it through the day without eating a limb from a live animal or murdering. So therefore, the odds are in their favor the day will go right. They can celebrate birthdays. Etzlam uveprat mechaside umas ha'olam kom melech ha'republik shalanu anasi hu etzlam yom tov dasam yom ha'damazla v'simcha. So fascinatingly, the Munkach Rebbe's drasha to fulfill the mandate of the government on the birthday of the leader of the republic, his drasha was, birthdays are a goyish azach, and happy birthday to the czar, may he be happy and have a happy birthday, far away from us. That was the drasha. But with us, with Jews, we don't celebrate such days. In our time, Rav Chaim Kanievsky in Derech Sicha, source number 6, was asked about this, on the pasuk acknowledging the birthday of Paro, quotes the Aderet, Kosova Aderet, in the Nefesh David, Becholibi Ka'asti, I was angry at the people who wish me happy birthday. So they asked Rav Chaim, "Nu, do they celebrate birthdays in the Stipler's home and the Kanievsky home?" To which she quoted the Gemara, "Shibumlo Samach Shana, Shishim Shana Hayyantav Shiyatza Mikaris, Mashma Shem Hodes Acher Lo Asaklum." We're going to see that maybe the only source in the Gemara to acknowledge a birthday is when you turn 60. Habaleinu Latova.
So or no Jewish people.
A positive memory for others. But when you turn 60, well, that's why. Why when you turn 60? What's special about your 60th birthday? Because the Gemara says if you're liable for kares, you will drop dead before your 60th birthday. So if you make it to your 60th birthday, make a party, you are free from kares. What a beautiful occasion. I don't know if they make birthday cards. Hallmark has not yet hit that market. Happy non-kares. Hallmark, American Greetings. I haven't seen those streamers yet. I haven't seen a non-Curry's 60th birthday party. But if my kids are listening, hopefully they'll remember one day to make me one. So Reb Chaim says, from the fact that the Gemara says only the 60th birthday is a birthday, what's in Mashma? Only the 60th birthday. But up till your 60th birthday and after it, there's nothing. Therefore, it's Leinu Babayis in our home, Lo Asu Klum. We did nothing growing up. The Stipler did not give a birthday card to his children. And Chaim Kanievsky does not observe his birthday at all. So we've seen so far until now an approach based on the Gemara. Just hold the questions. We have a lot to get through. We've seen an approach from, based on the Gemara in Erevin, that Noach Shlo Nivra, and based on the Pasuk in Koheles, that Yom HaMavis, Yom HiValdo, that birthdays are gornish, they're nothing, they're goyish, they're for the non-Jews, we don't observe them. In fact, someone tries to wish you a happy birthday, stop them in their tracks and tell them, don't waste your time. However, we also have the opposite approach as well. And that's what we'll spend the bulk of our time on. The Medrash Tanchuma, source number 7 of Parshat Pekudei, tells us, it quotes that Be'echad Ba'adar Haysa Nigmeres Melechas HaMishkan. The Mishkan was complete, it was fully built on the first of Adar. Because what you could achieve in summer in one day takes 2 days in the winter. So why didn't they celebrate it then? The Even though it was completed earlier, Hashem pushed it off and he deferred it. And he timed the celebration of the Mishkan with another auspicious day on the calendar. And what day did Hashem time the celebration of the Mishkan with? None other than the birthday of Yitzchak Avinu. What's the Medrash Mashma? That a birthday is a significant day. What's so special? What's auspicious? Why correlate the celebration of the Mishkan with the birth of Yitzchak, if a birthday is a gornished. If Noach Ladam, it would have been better. So maybe you'll say, yeah, the world is better because Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were born. Without us, the world wouldn't miss us so much. But that's not the Medrash seems to suggest. Yom Nolad Yitzchak Avinu is a significant day. This is also mashma from a Yerushalmi in Rosh Hashanah. The Yerushalmi in Rosh Hashanah says the following. B'shul ben Levi Amar Amalek, B'shul ben Yama Yoseh, Amalek were very calculated. What did they do? Hayamamed b'nei Adam b'yom genunsa shalo. Lomar lo b'meira Adam nofel b'yom genunsa shalo. Amalek, when they recruited the people to fight, who went to the front lines that day to battle the Jewish people? Who did Amalek recruit to be at the front lines on a particular day? Whosever birthday was that day. Now that seems kind of cruel. Happy birthday, your gift is, you may not make it till the end of your birthday. That seems kind of cruel. So why would Amalek specifically recruit those celebrating their birthday to be on the front lines that day? So the Korban Eda, the commentary on the Yerushalmi, tells us in source number 9, why? Hayamamed l'machama im Yisrael b'nei Adam she'osa yom yom leidaso. They would recruit people specifically that day was their birthday. Lomar, lo b'mehira Adam nizok b'yom alarto. Sha'as ha'mazal ha'sholit b'yom ahu ozer lo. Because on a person's birthday, there's a particular mazel. They merit a certain positive energy. They merit a certain auspiciousness that follows them. So therefore, Amalek understood that and tapped into that. Unless you think that's a particular non-Jewish thing, and true, we say Ein Mazel Yisrael, but in this sense, we will see, Kabbalistically, that we also believe that the day of a person's birth is a certain significance to it. And what's the significance of it? I think this point, you don't have to be a Mekubal to understand. It is the day that God decided the world would be better with you than without you. The day that you're born. Who is the famous quote? Was it Mark Twain? Two most important days in your life are the day you're born and the day you find out why. So we all like the second half of that quote, of the day that you find out why. But the first half of the quote is really important too. The day that you're born marks the day that Hashem determined the world was better with you than without you. What you could bring to the world, no one else could. That your neshama housed in that guf was able to accomplish a mission that nobody else could. That means that that day has a significance, has an auspiciousness, has an energy to it, has a certain mazel to it, which is significant. Yeah, and that's what the Gemara and Megillah, that's what the Gemara and Megillah tells us in Daf Yud Gimel. He pilpulhu agaral, tana kevin shenafal pur b'chodesh adar, samach simcha gedola. Amar nafali pur b'yerach shemes b'moshe. Haman was ecstatic. He said, oh, the lottery fell out. When am I going to annihilate the Jews? What a perfect time to annihilate the Jews in the month in which Moshe Rabbeinu died, Veloya Yodea, but he didn't understand. Shebeshiva ba'adar meis, uveshiva ba'adar nolad. It's true that Moshe Rabbeinu died on Zion Adar, but you know what else happened on Zion Adar? Moshe Rabbeinu's birthday. So yes, the email went out on Zion Adar saying, Moshe Rabbeinu, Yerzai, Zion Adar. But if there were this other email list, it would also say whose birthday is on Zion Adar? Moshe. Which means that not only does it not have a negative energy, Haman, you miscalculated, but there's a positive energy, because intrinsic, implicit in that day is the significance that God decided the world needed us. And therefore, it's a day, we're going to see, it's a day of self-reflection and introspection. It's a day of celebration, but it's also a day of awesome responsibility. Just hold your comments and questions. Hold your comments and questions. I understand, so is the rest of the material I got to get to. Hold the comments and questions. Gemara Moed Katan, source number 11. Is the Gemara that we referred to earlier. I want to hear it, Phil. Just hold on. Amar Abba, mechamish and yachishim shana. If a person dies between 50 and 60, zoi misas kares. When is the execution of kares? When is it carried out? Between the ages of 50 and 60. V'haida l'chashiv l'hu mishim kvodo shashmu al aramasi. The reason the Brisa didn't reckon these years is to protect the honor of Shmu. Rav Yosef yavish bar shitin. So when Rav Yosef reached the age of 60, avad l'hu yamatav al rabbanan, he made a party, a barbecue. Mistama, he had Chinese food. What else would Chazal serve on their birthday? Amar nafkili mikaris. Oh, I've made it out. By that age, you would have been struck with kares if you were liable. I made it out. You made it out of the range of kares in years, but maybe not of days. Take half the matter in your hand. Avoiding kares of years is in itself worthy of celebration. Thank you for being a party pooper. I appreciate your raining all over my party, but I'll take it that I made it through the kares of years, and therefore 60th year is a year to celebrate. So again, you see a makor that, unlike the Aderet, the Munkach Rebbe, and others who categorically reject this idea of a birthday, there is a mazel. Moshe Rabbeinu Zayin Adar is a significant day. The birthday of Yitzchak was a significant enough day that Hashem deferred the celebration, the completion of the Mishkan, until that day. And the 60th year is a significant year. The Medrash Shecha Seichel Tov, source number 12. Going back to the end of last week's parsha, Vayibay Yom HaShlishi Yom HaLedes Paro, Yesh Lomar Yom Zeh Tachlis Shenosem Yom Shenolad, V'dom Le Yom HaLedes, V'nir Li Do HaLedes, This is the completion of the year. So the Medrash says that not just non-Jews, but we're extrapolating from Paro celebrating his birthday, that we too acknowledge it is a significant day. It's a meaningful day. It's a day that we acknowledge. Now you have to understand what we understand about a Jewish calendar, what we believe about a Jewish calendar. I feel very strongly about this, to the chagrin of members of my immediate and extended family who think it's just a ploy to observe two birthdays, but it's not. Because this is the standard I ask for myself and it's the standard I hold towards others. I believe that observing dates on the Gregorian calendar is meaningless. We are Jews. We operate according to the Jewish calendar. We do not operate the solar calendar, but the lunar calendar. We are Jews. We have a Hebrew calendar. We don't establish when Hanukkah is based on a Gregorian date. We don't observe Pesach on a Gregorian date. We operate based on the Hebrew calendar. It is a shanda and a shame and an embarrassment. How few of us can even know what day it is on the calendar on any given day. We fill out a check and we fill out all kinds of information and we know the Gregorian secular date. How many know the Jewish date? But even more embarrassing and even more shameful is how few people know their own Hebrew birthday. It's shameful. Why is it shameful? Because if Mark Twain, if that was him, was right to say the two most important days to know the day you're born and the day you find out why, how could you not know the day you're born? It's shameful. Now, why is that so critical? Because you have to understand how the Jewish calendar operates. Unlike the secular notion of time, the secular notion of time is linear. If I had a whiteboard, I would draw this for you. It would look like a line. The first point on the line is the day you're born. And then behind you on the line is the past. And in front of you on the line is the future. And the points on the line represent the significant milestones or dates on the calendar or the timeline of your life. The secular view of time is entirely linear. But the Jewish view of time is cyclical. It's not a circle. If the Jewish view of time were a circle, you would meet yourself from last year on the same day on the calendar. But rather, it's a spiral. It's cyclical. A spiral follows the same track or pattern, the same circle, but it moves forward, it progresses. Which means to say that time progresses, but it does so following the same cycle of the previous years that came before. It's cyclical. It operates in a spiral. So again, we don't have time to delve into the Jewish notion of time right now, but just to give an understanding, because it relates to our topic of birthdays, and it's critically important to understand. Hanukkah. Why are we observing Hanukkah right now? We're in the midst of Hanukkah, a Freilichen Hanukkah to all. And why are we observing Hanukkah? Because thousands of years ago, there were Hashmonaim, there were Maccabees, they had the courage, and they fought an army much greater in number and in power, and they defeated them, and we found the Pach Shemet. No. We are not observing Hanukkah today to commemorate something of long ago. Those are secular holidays. And you know how they're commemorated? By a sale at the mall and fireworks in the sky. The Jewish notion of celebrating our history and our calendar is not to commemorate something from long ago, but it's to experience it today in the present. And what happens, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says the following. Embedded within days on the Jewish calendar are different energies, are different mazalos, are different concepts and different themes. There's an auspiciousness to these different days. And when history unfolds, the events that occur on those days reveal the energy of that time. So Pesach reveals the concept of freedom, liberty, and emancipation. And Hanukkah represents the period of light, illumination, that even the natural is supernatural, the concept of Emunah, Bitachon, and Hashem. And Purim represents finding Hashem even within the hidden. And Shavuos, every holiday represents a theme or an energy. And the holiday is not to observe something historical from long ago. The holiday is to observe and experience it today in the present. The historical event was just the mechanism or tool that revealed to me the energy implicit inherent in that point of time. But my goal is to connect and tap into that point of time. Which is why when we have the calendar shift And Pesach is going to be not in the spring, which is where it needs to be. We add a month and we create a leap year because we need to shift Pesach back to where it was. Why? Why do we need to do that? Not because the most honest way to be faithful to when Pesach happened, we should observe and commemorate it thousands of years later based on when it happened. No, it's not that we commemorate Pesach in the spring because it happened in the spring. It's that the spring enabled Pesach to happen. And the spring enables our redemption and liberation to be able to happen. So every Jewish holiday, this is so critical and so basic and foundational and so absent our Jewish education. But Jewish holidays are not historical. They're not commemorating things of the past. We're using the past to reveal to us what we can tap into in the present. What do we say? V'hasienu Hashem Elokecha is birchas mo'adecha. V'hasienu, lift us up through birchas mo'adecha, the bracha of every one of your holidays. Each holiday has a bracha in it. Be it the Yomim Tovim, the Regalim, be it the holidays, the Rabbanan, Chanukah, and Purim, be it Tu B'Shvat, I don't care what minor day it is on the calendar, Tu B'Av, whatever day it is on the calendar, there is an energy, a mazel, a theme, there's a bracha, V'hasienu Hashem is Birkas Moedecha, let me draw out, let me take the bracha in that Moed. Moed means an appointed time. Tisha B'Av is Karalai Moed. Tisha B'Av is a Moed. Because it means Tisha B'Av, there's an energy which we revisit cyclically each and every year. It's not the events we're commemorating Tisha B'Av because thousands of years ago those bad things happened. No, right now we have no Beis HaMikdash. Those bad things happen. Revealed to me what's in here. So that's the background about the calendar. There's a lot more to say on that. But I share it with you only to give you the context. What that means collectively and nationally is true for every one of us individually. When I observe my birthday according to this approach to birthdays, what I'm observing is that for me, that day on the Hebrew calendar is pregnant with meaning and possibility and potential and purpose and mission. That's my day. That's the day that Ribbono Shel decided the world was better with me than without me. The world needs me. And he brought my neshama into my guf, into this world. That's an awesome responsibility. It's worth celebrating, but it's also worth considering what it means. I'll tell you the same is true with our anniversary. Don't celebrate your Gregorian birthday. It's meaningless. And it should be to your spouse. And you can quote it in my name. Get me in trouble. Know your Hebrew anniversary and observe your Hebrew anniversary. Because I'll tell you a secret. Your Masada Kedushin didn't fill into your Ksuba the Gregorian date. That was not what was on your Tanaim or your Ksuba. What halachically was meaningful, when you became one, V'hayu l'basar echad, when you recreated yourself, and when you built that family, was launched when you stood under the chuppah that Hebrew day. It was pregnant with possibility and purpose and potential and meaning and mission. And that's the day that's revisited. The anniversary, you get together on your anniversary, you don't say, you know why we're here? Let's watch the video and remember how happy we were then. You celebrate the anniversary to say that was the beginning of what we've gotten to now. And this day is all about us. And let's revisit our love and our loyalty and our commitment and what we are meant to accomplish and achieve and build together. That's the idea of a birthday. So the Kaf HaChaim in Source 13 says, what do you do on that birthday? Here he says, if you turn 70. So we saw the significance of a 60th birthday. It means you avoided kares. What's the significance of a 70th birthday? Why is that a full life? Shim Shana. Because the Pasuk says, if you're lucky, you made it 70 years. So when you get to your 70th year, you should consider yourself to have lived a full life. Baruch Hashem, our life expectancy has far exceeded that today. Baruch Hashem, and Abirtz Hashem for all of us, the life expectancy has far exceeded that. And we're seeing it get greater and greater. And we're living longer and longer. But the Pasuk tells us that if you're lucky, you live Shiv Mshana. So therefore, the Kaf HaChaim says on your 70th birthday, you know what you do? You make a bracha of Shechianu. Below Shema Malchus, Me'achas Shelo Ksavna Rishonim. Since this doesn't appear in the Rishonim, you don't say it with Hashem's name. Ukvar Kasavnu Demefshar Tov Yosel Levarach Aprichadash V'Liftor. He says on your 70th birthday, get a new fruit. Okay, that'll mess you up for the next Rosh Hashanah, but you'll figure it out then. For now, get a new fruit so you can say a bracha of Shechianu. And on the Shechianu, you're saying on the new fruit, on the new suit, on the new car. Depends what position you're in to celebrate your birthday. Make a Shechianu to acknowledge it. Rav Avadya has a tshuva, source 14, about the concept of a bas mitzvah, bat mitzvah. And Rav Avadya is talking about, is there significance to a bat mitzvah? And in there, Mesiach Lufitumo, he says the following, Afilu bistam yom oledetim omrim sham divrei Torah havisudas mitzvah. So Rav Avadya takes a, it's somewhat counter, maybe counterintuitive, you wouldn't necessarily expect it. We have a whole other shira on the concept of a bat mitzvah, we could do it another time. But there were those who were opposed to it, some inherently opposed, others suspicious of where maybe it was coming from. But one of the earlier ones to support the idea of celebrating a bat mitzvah was Rav Avadya. Fascinating, because you don't find it celebrated as much with Sephardim as you do with Ashkenazim. But nevertheless, Mesiach Lefitumo, in passing, in the Tshuva, Rav Avadya says, and what are you clarifying about a bat mitzvah? Is it a sudas mitzvah or not? A stam birthday! If you say Divrei Torah at a birthday party, it's not a birthday party. You know what it is? It's a sudas mitzvah. And yesh noagin lasas yom aleidah liyanta b'chol shana v'shana v'simen yafahu v'chei noagin b'beiteinu. Says Rav Avadya, some make a party, not just at their bat mitzvah or bar mitzvah, when they turn 60 or 70. Some make a party every year. It's a simen yafeh. It's an auspicious day. And this is what we do in the Yosef home. We acknowledge and celebrate people's birthdays because it is positive. The Sefer Minhag Yisrael Torah brings a lot of this down, source 15, page 5. And first it quotes the Chavos Yair, who observed only the 70th birthday, and it quotes those who were against it, the Munkacher Rebbe and the Aderet, and then he says the following, in the middle of the page, where I underline, V'negam l'das marnach sam sofer v'amincha saluzer, de'en l'Yisrael asa suda b'yom ledes, b'kom akom, ikam ma'al yusa b'yom zeh l'harbas b'toro tefila. Even those who are against a frivolous celebration, let's go out and toast l'chaim and drink all night, but even those who are against a frivolous celebration, a meaningless, empty celebration of a birthday, they too acknowledge that you can mark that day with what? Divrei Torah and tefillah. And he quotes the Yerushalmi we mentioned, that a malik would recruit the people on their birthday. Why? Because there was a mazel on that day. Now go to the last paragraph. Ulesiyuma demilsa, kedai lahatik mashuva bekuntras oleya. He says it's worthwhile when summarizing this question of birthdays to quote what appears in the pamphlet Oaleya, the Pamachas Nechas Tamadecha the Rabbo Haksav Sofer, once one of the Ksav Sofer students went in, Vehishtomim Alamara, and he was shocked by what he found, dumbfounded. Kimatzes Rabbo Goebebechi, Bebechi. He found the Ksav Sofer was wailing, was crying. Vesholo Rabbeinu Lama Tabocha, so he said, Rebbe, Ksav Sofer, what are you crying? Vyomar Da Tamidi Chavivi, Hayoma Zehu Yoma Sherbono Larati. You know why I'm crying? Because today is my birthday. I'm 54 years old. And 54 backwards is done. Done anochi atzmi. I'm 54 years old, which is nun dalet, or backwards dalet nun. Dalet nun, done, means to judge. And I'm looking at my life and I'm judging and I'm saying, I'm an utter, total failure. What have I achieved? And what have I accomplished? And who am I? Have I fulfilled my potential? Why shouldn't I cry about my lost days that I can't get back? I'm 54 years old, and what do I have to show for it? When he heard, he started to cry. Because if the Ksav Sofer on his 54th birthday cried and said, what do I have to show for it? What do I have to achieve? And how do I get back those years and those months and those weeks and those days which I've wasted? When the truth is the Ksav Sofer's life was filled with Torah and Avoda and Gemilas Chasadim. B'mida gedola kokach v'koze bocha v'doa gashnosav mayano izubi akira shebe'emes bilo shnosam be'behala adkan. What will we answer and what will we say? And so the Ksav Sofer was very somber and sober on his birthday. And he used it as a day of introspection and self-reflection to evaluate his life. What had he achieved and who had he become and how had he used his time and what was he going to do with the time that he had left. You see, source, but he acknowledged it. In other words, that's what he did on his birthday. It's not much of a party, but that's what he did. Source 16, the Rakasta Da'anya is a tshuva, the brush of a rav, who also talks about making a shechianu when you turn 70, and he concludes that you don't make a shechianu because you don't find it in Chazal. He has a tshuva. You can look at it if you want more closely. Source 17, page 7, is the Chida. Bless you. The Chida writes the following. For those who wanted to say, Ein mazel Yisrael, and the Yerushalmi, that's a malik. A malik tap into the auspiciousness of a birthday, but not Yidden, not Jews, says the Chida. Efshem ha-shekosam mekubalim, shehayom shenolid ba'adam, Mazalo bari v'chazak b'chol shana. Our birthday, Our mazel is strong and healthy on every year. Eov cursed the day of his birth because it brought and brought no blessing and no bracha in his life. But if you feel any bracha, any blessing in your life, then the day to credit with the blessing in your life is the day that you came into being, is the day that you were entered into this world, is your birthday. So the Chidah explicitly states that a person's birthday, their mazel is strong. It is a significant day, not on the Gregorian secular calendar. It's meaningless. That's just for when you fill out your SATs. It's for when you have to fill out your passport application. But if you're talking about real meaning and real life, the only birthday that matters is your Hebrew birthday. The Rav Tzadok HaKohen in his Sefer Sisei Laila, source 18, Rav Tzadok HaKohen writes the following: Hayom she'adam noled bo, asu betokef mazalo. Your birthday is an auspicious day. And you don't have to worry about anything on your birthday, because your birthday is indeed a cause to celebrate. It's when you came into this world, it's when Hashem determined the world needs what only you have to offer. But what about the Gemara in Kedushin Daf Lamed Ches? Tzadikim meisim b'yom shenoldu. What do you mean? The most righteous die on their birthday. That's quite a birthday present. Ribbono Shel Olam says, happy birthday? Drop dead. You have to understand that for a tzaddik, that in fact is the greatest birthday present you can get. Now let me just be very, very careful and qualify that. What is Rav Tzadok HaKohen talking about? We don't look forward or celebrate death. For us, death, Lo ha-mesim yahalaluka, we just said this morning. Lo ha-mesim yahalaluka. We only have bechira, we have free will, and we make choices. Life only has meaning when the neshama is housed by the guf. We are a neshama, we have a body, but the body enables us to make choices which either bring us closer or make us more distant from Hashem. But the net result, the meaning in our lives, is only because we have free will. And when the neshama is extracted from the body, we no longer have free will. We ascend on high and we're stuck wherever we are and based on the choices we made in this world. So we don't celebrate death, and we don't long for death, and we don't look forward to death, and we certainly don't expedite or hasten death at all. That's other religions, it's not us. Lo ha-mesim yahalaluka. However, Rav Nachman writes that the tzaddik, the Gemara says, the Rambam Mor Nevuchim writes, for a tzaddik, how is death described? Is a misas neshika. It's the kiss of death. Why? Because for the tzaddik, death is a moment of ecstasy. I always give this example. I walk around in a suit and tie all day long, which is another word saying, I have to wear a straight jacket all day long. There's nothing more exciting than late at night when I can finally take off my tie and open my button. My kids know that when I'm off in the summer, I'm not wearing a tie. At the end of the summer, the first time I put my tie back on a weekday, my kids say, Zai gesund, Abba, it was nice knowing you, we'll see you next summer. Because you walk around dressed up. My friends who are doctors who wear scrubs all day, they say the worst part is when you come home, there's nothing more comfortable to change into. You're already wearing your pajamas to work. So, Rav Nachman writes, he says, for the soul, for the neshama, the soul, the neshama, just wants to thrive. It wants to ascend on high. It wants to attach itself to the Ribbono Shel Olam. But alas, it has a guf. It has a body. And the body is like wearing a straitjacket. It's like having to wear a suit all day. So Rav Nachman writes, I can't wait when my soul will be taken from my body and I'll go to the next world. I'll be able to disrobe. I'll be able to take off this body, which is so uncomfortable. The body, which is such a straitjacket. The body, which is holding me back. And my neshama can fly free. So Rav Tzadok is writing, not that we long for death, but for the tzaddik, for the righteous, their soul can disrobe, can take off the garment known as the guf. And therefore, the fact that the Yom HaMisa, that the tzaddik dies on the day they're born, is the greatest birthday gift. Why? Not because we long for death, but if it has to one day come, if it comes on the day you're born, it is the greatest sign that your neshama is able to disrobe. Just like when you're born, your neshama is impacted positively by the Torah that you learn and the good deeds that you do and the davening and the mitzvos. Came biyom amisa, magiel amala oyon odios or tov yom amavas biyom ivado va'kein hemesim biyom leidasam du yom isromamas mazalom. So the day of your death and your neshama, we've hopefully spent our lives making the right choice. And our guf has empowered and enabled and supersized that neshama with the right choices. So now when the neshama is extracted from the body, it can ascend and fly free. Yom is romamus mazalam. Mishain tzadikim, shein amisam yad, biyom is romamus ma'ala. But a person who's not a tzadik, so then we're in trouble. When the soul is extracted from the body, we're out of time. Now we're in trouble. No, let me stay dressed a little bit more because I have more positive choices to make because I have to undo the negative ones I made. So therefore, for the tzaddik taka, it's a gift for the day of the death to be your birthday. But for the less than righteous, the day of death is not a gift. So you see, Rav Tzadok HaKohen also talks about the mazel of one's birthday. And it's not a contradiction in the Gemara Kedushin that says that the righteous die on their birthday. Not because the birthday is a negative day. Adrabah, davka, because the birthday is such a high and such a lofty and such a great day. Chavos Yair also has a tshuva, where he's trying to define what is a Sudas Mitzvah. And in that context of defining a Sudas Mitzvah, he too examines the question of, is Sudas Ben Shivim Sheyesh L'Estapik? Is the 70th birthday a time to make a Shechianu or not? He too considered the 70th birthday. There's a tshuva by the Ksav Sofer. Tshuva Kuf Mem Ches, page 20, on page 8. The same Ksav Sofer who we read was crying when his student walked in, saying on his 54th birthday, his Nun Dalad, Dalad Nun, his birthday, he was done himself, he judged himself so negatively. And he writes the following. He says, I came to my 50th birthday. So for my 50th birthday, says the Ksav Sofer, I very publicly expressed a bracha of gratitude of Shechianu v'kiyamanu, Baruch Yisbarach Shemo, Hanosin Leyav Koach Lomor Lamed, Kenya Azreni Laman Shad Zikna Veseva, Aya Azreni Via Yicheni, Veme Kashayam Avazeno Akadoshim, Lagda Torah Ladiram, Lagdor Pirzi Atora Asherabu, Babunaseno Arabin, Viatil Osanu Mimotza Diba Maltora Kadosha, Valen Yatzel, Anizora Turamana Kirbo Stadikim. So he wrote this extensive bracha on his 50th birthday. He celebrated Vasisi Beyomahu Ze Hayom Nasa Shemli, Siam Lemisachis Psachim. How should one celebrate their birthday? Not by going out to a bar or by toasting l'chaim, not with presents. How do you celebrate your birthday? He said, I made a siyam, a meseches psachim, and I offered a bracha shechianu, and the wish that Hashem should continue to grant me the strength to learn His Torah, to defend it, and to stand for it. The Ksav Sofer, on the one hand, we have the picture of his crying on his 54th birthday, but 4 years prior, on his 50th birthday, he writes in his own words that he observed it by making a siyam, and with a bracha to Hashem, that Hashem continue to endow him with the strength to learn Torah and to make a difference. Source 21. You have a newspaper in Yerushalayim, February 3rd, 1909, describes the 93rd birthday of Rav Shmuel Salant, who was the chief rabbi of Yerushalayim. Many great Torah sages of Yerushalayim attended the celebration, offered a toast of Shmuel Salant's long life and strengthening of Torah and settlement of Eretz Yisrael. It's also reported that Rav Chaim Berlin brought him a cake with a special bracha in Hebrew written on it, whose numerical value was equivalent to the year 5669. We just last week spoke about Rav Chaim Berlin's brother, Rav Meir Berlin, Rav Meir Bar Ilan, who became the assistant chief rabbi to Rav Shmuel Salant in Yerushalayim and succeeded him in running the great Rav Meir Balanes Staka of Yerushalayim. So the Berlin brothers were at this birthday party of Rav Shmuel Salant, the chief rabbi of Yerushalayim, which was honored with a cake, with a special bracha written in Hebrew, and so on and so forth. I checked with a member of our community, who was a very, very close shamash of Rav Chaim Pincha Scheinberg, Zatzal, and said that Rav Scheinberg observed his birthday. He lived to a very, very ripe old age. And he said, yeah, on his 100th birthday, his closest Talmidim gathered with him in his apartment and marked and celebrated his 100th birthday together with him, Rav Scheinberg. So we do have a tradition. Unlike the Munkach Rebbe, and unlike the Aderet, and unlike this very pessimistic view of Noach L'Adam Shelo Nivra, and therefore what is there to celebrate at a birthday? There's nothing happy about a birthday. We have this entirely other view that says birthdays are very worth celebrating. They're one of the two most important days of our life. The day we're born, and the day we find out why. And on the Hebrew calendar, our mazel is strong on that day. Take advantage of it. Redouble and renew our efforts to make a difference, to identify our mission in this world. It's a very, very powerful day in which our mazel is very strong. But how do we not observe it? We do not observe it by blowing out candles. Why not? So first of all, the idea of blowing out candles and offering a wish and a prayer has pagan roots. That's another one of my pet peeves that makes me another Grinch within my family. That blowing out candles is not a Jewish concept. We offer tefillah. You just daven shacharis. You're going to daven mincha. You're going to daven marav. Say a tehillim if you want. There's a custom Lubavitchers have to say the corresponding number of tehillim that is your year of your birth every day for that year of your life. Say a parak of tehillim if you want to ask Hashem for something. I hate to be the Grinch. I'm so sorry to defend the Jewish customs. But closing your eyes and offering a wish and blowing out a candle, it's not a Jewish, it has pagan roots and pagan origin, and even worse than that. Why do we not blow out candles? And here is my very, 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 very weak connection to Hanukkah, which also happens to have candles on it. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. The Pasuk in Mishlei says, Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam, Chofes Kochadrei Vaten. How do we describe? What is the metaphor? What is the symbol for a neshama? Nishmas Adam. How do we capture it with the image of a candle? Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam. Why is a candle correspond with the soul of a person? What is it about the candle? So first of all, the commentaries explain. Because a candle is intangible. You can't grab onto a flame. Nevertheless, you can feel, you know its presence. How? You can see its light, and you can feel its warmth. So even though you can't grab onto it, you have no doubt that it's there. And the same is true with the neshama. Why do we light a Yahrzeit candle? We light a Shiva candle all Shiva. We light a Yahrzeit candle to commemorate a Yahrzeit. We light a Yizkor candle before Yizkor. Whenever we want to invoke the presence of the neshama, how do we invoke the presence of the neshama? How do we affirm our faith that the neshama is eternal, is immortal, is still here? With the imagery of a candle. Because just like I can't grab it, but if I listen, if I feel, I can feel its warmth and I can see its light. What's the other thing about a flame? What does a flame do? The Mefarshim explained, the flame is jumping. It's trying to go higher and higher and higher. See, the guf in us, the body in us, it's dragging us down. It says, look at that thing, or eat that thing, or say that thing, or go to that place, or do that wrong thing. The guf is dragging us down, but the neshama inside us, like the flame, it's flickering up. It doesn't matter which direction you hold the candle, the flame will always climb up. Because the neshama in us, no matter which way you hold the body, the flame is always trying to ascend higher and higher. Maharal says that's why an animal walks on all four, because it's connected to the ground, to the earth. It's going down to the aretz, to the gashmis. But the human being walks on two legs. Why? Because we're reaching for the heavens. We're climbing higher and higher. The neshama, the flame that's flickering inside us, is reaching higher and higher and trying to take us higher and higher. And when we look at a candle, we see our neshama. And that's the idea. This is not a weak connection. There's a big minog. When you light the Hanukkah candles, the menorah, you're not supposed to do what too many do. You light the menorah and you get that out of the way so you can go give out the presents and you can go eat the latkes and go eat the sufganiyot and go run out of the house to the event or the concert and so on. That's not the idea of Hanukkah. The whole idea of Hanukkah is to sit and to look at those candles, to watch those candles. It's written in many of the Svarim HaKadoshim how staring at the flame of the candle, not using it, you're not allowed to. Ein lanu rishus lehishtamesh bahem. You're not allowed to benefit from its light. But when you stare at the flame, it has the capacity to heal your eyes. Now, I'm not talking about if you have macular degeneration, you're going to get your sight back. I'm not telling you if you need a schedule for cataract surgery, you can cancel it and just look at your menorah. But I'm telling you the damage we've done to our eyes by looking at the wrong things, the holiness of the candles can lift us. It's brought down. Why? The answer is because when you look at the candle, you see the neshama in you. You see that possibility and that potential. When you watch the flickering of the flame that's reaching up, you realize that no matter how far I've fallen, and no matter how down my body has brought me, the neshama in me is still reaching and stretching higher and higher. That's what the Gemara in Shabbos, source 23 says, Neshama shenasati bachem kriya ner. The soul I put inside you is called the candle. The Maharal in source 24, we don't have time for it, you can read on your own, explains even further, why is the soul compared to a candle? But based on this, source 25, page 11, it's brought down in Sfarim. The Zivchei Tzedek writes, Amr Chazal, ein l'chabos haner bepiv, v'cheinu b'kolbo. The Sefer Kolbo writes, never blow out a candle. It's not a Baba Maisa, and it's not an Ayin Hara, and it's not some Narishkeit. This has a tradition in our Masorah. Be careful, don't blow it out. The Sefer Rivos Ephraim, a great Talmud, Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rav Ephraim Greenblatt, a great posik, writes in the fourth Chelik of Rivos Ephraim, regarding Havdalah, I am Bekafa Chayim Palaji, the cause of Machaba Ner Bepiv Dama Barosho. If you blow out the Havdalah candle, your blood is on your head. don't blow out the Havdalah candle. That's the origin of the minhag, that you spill a little of the wine or the grape juice and you dip it in there. Aye, what's the difference? You're extinguishing it either way. It's different. If you dip it in, it became extinguished. But we don't actively blow out a candle. To blow out a candle is to blow out the neshama, is to extinguish the neshama. The very candle, which is the symbol to us, is of ascending on high, don't blow it out. Just like we don't blow out any of our lives. So this notion, again, I'm sorry to be the Grinch who stole birthdays, but the idea of lighting candles, making a wish and blowing them out, so the wish is a pagan origin. And blowing out a candle, domo barosho, don't ever get into the custom of blowing out candles. I'm not quoting some heebie-jeebie mekubal. This is the Rivos Ephraim we're talking about. And the Rivos Ephraim is quoting this tradition from the Kaf HaChaim, don't blow out a candle, you blow out a candle, domo barosho. Now the one who celebrated birthdays the most was of course the Rebbe Zatzal. And the Rebbe was very into, and it's so consistent with the Rebbe's personality, who didn't focus on death, he focused on life, not negativity, but positivity. He wasn't held back by the Holocaust. Every time questioned, the Rebbe only spoke about the Holocaust once, when he was defending the martyrs of the Holocaust, when certain people tried to explain why they were killed. That was the only time the Rebbe in a Sicha, in a Fabrengen, talked in defense of the Kedoshim of the Holocaust. Otherwise, he strategically decided, we don't focus on the Holocaust, even though he lost his family and suffered greatly from the consequences of the Holocaust. He felt, we don't focus on the Holocaust. Why? Because we can't change the past. We can only make the world a better place going forward. It'll only drag us down and bring us back. It will not help us at all. So consistent with the Rebbe's whole personality was not to emphasize, though he certainly observed Yahrzeits, but to at least equally recognize and observe and celebrate not death, but life. Birthdays. The Rebbe very much promoted knowing your birthday and celebrating your birthday and marking your birthday and leveraging, exploiting, tapping into your birthday. What do I mean? Leveraging it by signing up on a registry and getting lots of gifts? No. Leveraging your birthday for the spiritual power that you get on that day, harnessing it and making the world a better place. And here is a list of the Rebbe's suggestion, and on the next page are the footnotes that source it where. It's customary to be called to the Torah on the Shabbos preceding your birthday. Where's the Gabayim here? I'm not trying to say this is a chiyuv, you don't get to the priority list. When the birthday occurs on a day that the Torah is read, you should also be called to the Torah that day. On your birthday, increase your contributions to tzedakah before davening and afternoon. When your birthday is Shabbos Yontov, give extra tzedakah before Shabbos. Put more time and effort into your davening on your birthday. Daven with greater concentration. Meditate on the greatness of Hashem. Put more intensity in your recitation. Wouldn't you want to think, if someone saved your life, if you threatened to die on a certain day, you had a heart attack on the side of the road and someone pulled over and saved your life, you were in a burning car and someone pulled you out, would you not every year on that day call them and say, thank you? Thank you. I wouldn't be here without you. Thank you. A surgeon saved your life. You wouldn't call him every year on that day and say, thank you? So every year on that day that Hashem saved our life by giving us life, our effort to say thank you should even be more genuine and more profound. Study the Tehillim which corresponds to your new age and which you will be saying daily through the coming year. When you reach the age of 20, you begin saying Tehillim, Chaf Aleph, and so on. In addition to your regular daily study periods, on your birthday study an extra lesson, revealed Torah, Nigla, and in Chassidus, in addition to the daily quote of Chumash Tehillim, Tanya, and Rambam. Study a Chassidic discourse by heart, and review it in the presence of a group of people on your birthday. Reach out to your fellow Jew and teach them Torah and Chassidus, Avas Yisrael, on your birthday. Isolate yourself in seclusion for one day of your birthday. Retrospectively review your conduct for the past year, what you need to work on. Accept upon yourself a new act of piety, in some area of action, all within your grasp. Celebrate a happy party with your family and friends in honor of your birthday. Give praise and thanks to Hashem. If possible, say Shechianu on a new fruit. The Rebbe very much embraced and encouraged and promoted all those acts. And I believe, in my opinion, the magnificent picture that the Rebbe paints about how a birthday can be celebrated. Both the balance of celebration and joy with introspection, reflection, accountability, responsibility really expresses the significance and the mazel of that day. That rather than a day that we should be negative or reject or push back with anger the people who wish us a happy birthday, we should embrace the significance of that day. And I'll tell you two more things quickly. One is a tshuva of Rav Sternbach. I found these notes. I was going through some old papers. This shows you new parents. I gave a drasha at my oldest daughter's first birthday party. Nebuch. She was 1 year old. I was excited to be a new father. And 1 year later, I guess I was still so excited. And I was in Gris Kolel, and we made her a little party. She turned one. And Nebuch, for the people who came to the party, they had to listen to me. Apparently, I gave a whole gan drasha. So there's a lot of sources here, which I won't repeat, including reviewing her name, Rachel Ahuva, and why we named her that, in the notes here at the end. But in here, I quoted Rav Moshe Sternbach. Rav Sternbach in Tshuvas V'Hanhagos, Chelik Beis, Simen Kuf Lamed Beis, it's not in the handouts. He quotes the Stipler, that when a girl is born, when a person has a baby girl, it's appropriate to make a Suda Soda. Why? Because Gemara says, Chazal say, Alti Birchos Hedyot Kala Be'inecha. Never dismiss, never minimize the bracha even of an ordinary person. So therefore, when you have a baby girl, when you have a boy, you make a bris, everyone says mazel tov and gives you a bracha, that you should be zocha, you should be Torah and chuppa masam tovim. But what about a girl? So the Tshuvas V'Hanhagos quotes the stipler that when you have a girl, make a kiddush, make a suda soda, so equally everyone can come and offer a bracha, because never minimize the power of a bracha from anyone. So I wanted to apply that if that's true from the day, the year that the child is born, why not every year? Atiyak birchas kala, every year on your birthday, don't be embarrassed and don't be ashamed. When people give you a bracha, you should have a health and happiness and longevity. Alti birchas hedyot kala beinecha. Never minimize and never be upset. And I'll end by telling you this. You know, at different milestones in my short life so far, I've been happy about some birthdays more than others. And others, you know, you turn a different decade or midway through a different decade, and, you know, we joke, but you could be less than happy about moving on in years and sad. And I'll tell you this year, after we particularly lost several young people in our community and several dear friends, I will say this. Never will I ever be negative or hesitant or frown or pessimistic or quiet or ashamed about a birthday. If you merit to live another year and you merit to celebrate another birthday, I don't care how old you become or what decade you switched or what attention it will bring, it's taka worth celebrating. If you live another day, if Baruch Hashem you're alive and you're surrounded with people to recognize it and celebrate it with you, embrace it. That in itself is worth celebrating. The mazel of that day and the gift and the bracha of that day. And we should all be zocha to celebrate many, many more birthdays in our lives.